I invite you to get your Bibles this morning, if you will, open to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 3. I'm going to use this as a backdrop to our message this morning, which is primarily going to be taken out of the book of Ephesians, but I want to use this as a place for us to leap forward, if you will, into the text. Joshua chapter 3, we'll begin reading in verse 14. Now, and one of the things that we need to understand here is about what has happened is that the nation of Israel had been in the wilderness for 40 years, and now it's time for them to come across the River Jordan, and the Lord is going to open up the river, and they're going to walk across, and we're going to see what is going to transpire here. So verse 14 says, "And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come into Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks at all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up from upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priest that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command you them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man, and Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up, every man of you, a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them into the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst, in the place where the feet of the priest which bare the ark of the covenant stood, and there they are unto this day. And those stones were to be set up as a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Our Father in heaven, as we come before thy grace this morning, before thy throne, we just thank you so much for the blessings of your word, and what it reminds us about is that, Lord, we need to have memorials in our lives. We need to have those landmarks. We need to have those landmarks that are true, and to be reminded of them, dear Lord, of how that you have brought us forth out of many times great peril, but Lord, that you have always been there, and that you have set before us those places and shown us what wonderful things, marvelous things that you've done, and that we need to be mindful of them. And Lord, as the people of Israel were to be mindful of what you had done, bringing them out of the land of Egypt, what you had done, bringing them across the wilderness time and period, and bringing them across the River Jordan into the promised land, that Lord, as they are to be reminded of those things, Lord, let us be reminded of what you did on the cross of Calvary, though we were so undeserving, that you loved us so much that you gave your Son Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary that we might be saved. But Lord, may we never forget the salvation that you've given us, the righteousness that you imparted unto us. And Lord, may at any time that's ever asked, of the hope that's within us. That, Lord, we be mindful to share the glorious grace that You've given, the love that You've given unto us. And may it stand as a memorial and a testimony for not only we ourselves, but our children, our grandchildren, and those who are to follow us. Lord, You know the hearts of each individual that's here. For one in our midst who's never trusted in Your Son Jesus as Savior, Lord, I pray that today will be the day of salvation. Guide and direct my words, for it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. You know, too many people today, adults and children alike, when it comes to Memorial Day, it's become just another holiday, a day to spend with friends and relatives, cook on the barbecue. Some may even run to the mall for some of those Memorial Day sales. But how many of us will actually take time to remember the true meaning of this national holiday? And again, as I mentioned to you earlier that in the opening this morning, that we have Memorial Day that's been set aside to honor those men and women of former world wars or wars that our country has been in conflict with, WW1, WW2, Korea, Vietnam, and now we have, you know, there were those of Desert Storm, we have those of late, of the last several years, Iraq and Afghanistan, and these are just to name a few. But to honor them, to honor those who are currently fighting our wars today, especially to honor those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. But I will tell you is that we need to understand is that for the majority of the wars that we've ever engaged in, most have been done with volunteers, men and women, who saw the need to protect the sovereignty of this country, to protect the liberty and the freedoms that we enjoy. And they saw that even it was worth dying for, if need be. Today this message will center around the topic of lest we forget. We open this reading here in the book of Joshua because I believe there are different events that occur in the lives of people that we must remember. And these events not only should be remembered by ourselves, but they also need to be handed down to our children. I look at the nation of Israel. I wonder how many of them remember today what happened in Jordan. They're getting ready to go to Jericho. How many of them recall today being led out of Egypt? Going down, and they were only 75 strong as a family of Jacob coming out, probably 1.5 to 2 million people strong coming out of Egypt there after that 400 year plus time in Egypt. How many of them remember that it was God that brought them out? How many of them that remember and are recalled upon is that it was God that after they built the tabernacle in the wilderness is that there was the fire at night to show of God's presence, the cloud in the daytime, and to be reminded of as they were to move, it would lift and it would go forward and they were to tear down everything and take it forth. How many of them even remember that today? But you know, one of the things is that these memorials that are set up for us to be reminded of is that even in our own churches say, why do we do what we do? Why do we have the type of services that we have? Why? What is so important about our singing? Why do we sing? Why do we pray? Why do we lift up God's name? And there are times that we need to really go back and really speak to why we honor God in the way we do, especially in our services, because many of our children today do not understand. And I would dare say that many adults even do not understand the real reason. It's not a time of just being social. It's a time of worship. And I tell you is that I believe and truly in Christendom today is in our society, we have lost sight of what it means to truly worship God because we have no memorials in our life about what the Lord has done. And we praise Him that He saved us, but you see, we don't understand what it took to get Jesus to the cross of Calvary that we might be saved. You see, that is something that we ought to reflect on. We ought to think about what it took for Jesus to come to this earth to die on the cross of Calvary and why there was a need for Jesus to come to the cross of Calvary. Why was there a need? Because, you know, I'm just a really a good person. I'll take the salvation, but I really am not a sinner, as you say. And that's the idea that many have today because they have not gone back to really understand the need for why we need salvation. If you will, turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. And I wanted to use the writings there of Joshua to give us a launch into this remembrance, lest we forget. And here in Ephesians chapter 2, why in the world do we need a time of remembrance? Why do we need a time of memorial in the sense of remembering what has happened for you? And I find here in the first couple of verses of Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Why do we need to have this time of going back and reflecting? Because we need, lest we forget who we are and what we are, and the fact is that we are sinners in need of a Savior before salvation. Who we are as a people that are sinners. Why are we sinners? Why is that term used? You know, one of the things is that I don't believe that's explained. You have to go all the way back to the beginning. What beginning? Adam and Eve. What happened to Adam and Eve? They were told by God, do not eat of this forbidden fruit. Do not eat of it. You can eat of any fruit in the Garden of Eden you want to, but not of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Do not eat of it, because in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. Do not eat of it. Eve made the statement that they weren't even to touch it. Stay away from it. It's there. Stay away from it. But we know what happened is that she was beguiled. She looked upon it. She thought that it was good for fruit. She took it and ate of it. Beguiled of Satan. But then she took that fruit and turned to her husband Adam and gave it to him, and he ate of it freely. He was not beguiled. And as a result of him eating of that fruit that God had said, as a result of her eating of it as well, they died spiritually. They died spiritually. And they started to die physically as well. Because what God says, do not eat of it, because in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. And as a result of that, every one of us are faced with the situation that we are spiritually dead. And it's only through the grace of God, only through trusting in what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, where it says there, as we read, "And you hath he quickened who were dead," former dead in trespasses and sin. We were unable to understand as a lost individual. Before salvation, we were unable to understand spiritual things. We could read the Bible, we could understand the stories, and I will tell you, there are many sitting in churches today, and even of our young people, if I were to go around here and ask you about, tell me something about Daniel, they could tell you. If I were to ask you, tell me something about David, they could tell you. If I asked you, could ask you something about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they could tell you, because they know the stories. But if they don't understand their need of salvation, all they have is the stories. They need to understand why Jesus had to come to die on the cross of Calvary, because we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And even though I might be able to, whether as a child or an adult, to be able to understand the stories, I cannot discern spiritual things without having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I am unable to appreciate spiritual things. I am able to hear the Word of God. All I can hear Him and speak to me with regards to conviction that I need to be saved, but I cannot understand spiritual things until I come to know Christ as Savior. It's kind of like this, you know, you got a person who's physically dead. They don't respond to physical stimuli. They don't, because why? They're dead. Well, it's very similar to, with regards to a lost man or a lost woman that's never trusted in Christ as Savior. They don't respond to spiritual stimuli. They don't respond to it because they have not been given life, if you will. In fact, I've never seen where a corpse ever heard the talk in the funeral parlor by the person that's going to embalm them. They have no appetite for food. They feel no pain because why? Their body is dead. And you see, as a lost individual, that's exactly how you are as an unsaved individual. Is that you're spiritually, you cannot respond, you cannot understand spiritual things until you come to know Jesus as Savior. God does everything for us to bring us to the point of salvation. And what I mean by that is that He sent His Son to die on the cross of Calvary. His Spirit shows us through His Word and convicts us of our heart that He is the Savior. He draws us unto Jesus the Savior. And then when we trust in Christ, then we are filled with the Spirit. We are washed by the washing of regeneration. We are saved. We are made whole. And we have been quickened, given life, breathed back into our spirit, if you will, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And even though that we walk in the places that we've walked before, and what I mean by this is that even though we're a child of God, is that we walk in this world, there are still things going on in this world that may try to draw us back into the world, into society, into evil things where we were disobedient and we have this flesh that's pulling us back in. But the way that we conquer it, lest we forget who we are in Jesus. And you see, why is it that we go back, people go back into the world? Why do they go back into the world and start doing the things they used to do? Is because they have forgotten who they are in Jesus Christ. They have forgotten who they are. They have forgotten that it was because, if it wasn't because of Jesus, there would be no salvation. They forgot that they had trusted in the Lord. Their hearts have become backslidden. Their hearts have become hard in many ways. And they're back in the world doing the things that they should not be doing. And it's because of the fact is that they had forgotten who they are in Jesus. Lest we forget. You see, we need to be reminded. You say, well, Pastor, how is it that I'm going to be reminded? I will tell you, it's very easy. First of all, you need to have a prayer life. You need to have a constant prayer life in your life. And that's something that has to be done on a daily basis. That's something that has to be an attitude. Because if we don't have a prayer life, I will tell you, Satan is going to bombard you with thoughts that you don't need to be thinking about. You see, if you're praying, if you have an attitude of prayer, that's what's filling your mind up. But if you don't have an attitude of prayer, then what will happen is that Satan can start filling your mind with things that you shouldn't have. Another thing that we're going to be needing is that we're going to need to have time in service in the Word of God. And what I mean by that, getting into it, digging into it, studying it. That's why it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How is it that we're going to rightly divide the word of truth? You have to study. And that study means that I pray about it. I read it. I meditate upon it. I think about it. I start to structure my life by it. I walk by it. I experiment with it. You say, well, what does it mean to experiment with it? Start trusting that it's true. Start putting it into action. Start looking at it. It's for real. Start understanding it's God's Word. These aren't words that the author is man. These are words that God is the author, but man was used to write them for us so that we have them. You see, when we look at this, is that you have to have a time of prayer. You have to have a time of study, but then you have to have a time of applying and doing. Be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And you see, that is going to help us, lest we forget who we are in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4 of our text. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Lest we forget what God did. The nation of Israel forgot what God did for them. Many times, over and over again, they forgot. God reminded them. God reminded them, kept reminding them. And when they forgot what He knew, He sent His prophets. His prophets would say, you have forgotten what I've done for you. You need to get yourselves back into serving Me. Tear down those idols. Tear down that false houses of worship. Come back and serve Me. That is what is needed. They refused many times. As a result, what happened is that they were put into captivity. The Assyrians came into Israel. For 40 years they had them. Babylon came into Jerusalem, Judea, and had them for what? 70 years. The nation of Israel lost tremendously their place of worship, which was Jerusalem. All of that land was lost. because of the fact they turned, lest they had forgotten. And they forgot. They forgot what those memorials were. And when they went by, all they saw was these stones. And you know what happened was is that they had seen the stones, and the children had been asking, and they were reiterating. The parents were saying, this is what happened here on the River of Jordan. The banks had overflowed. And when you read that passage of Scripture, the banks were so overflowing and you've got to realize, when it started to overflow, this was the time of harvest, and it did not stop overflowing, and it did not start backing up until they were willing to do what? Put their feet in the water. God didn't part it before their feet went in the water. The priests were the ones, the leadership, the spiritual leaderships of the religious leadership and things of this nature, until they stuck their feet into the water, as God had told them to, that water did not part. If those men had not have been willing to go forward and stick their feet in the water, that water would have never parted. They would have never crossed across the River Jordan. They did what God said. They picked up those stones, one for every tribe. They stuck it over there and they put it up, and as a result, they were to be reminding themselves, their children, their grandchildren, in perpetuum, as to what was going to happen or what had happened back when they came across the River Jordan. That's what it was supposed to be done. And after a while, I have to believe that those stones, even though that they stayed there for years upon years, is that many of them forgot what they were about. And one of the things we need to understand, here's something that you and I need to understand, is that we do not want to wait for the children to come asking us what the stones are for. We do not want to wait until the children come asking us what the stones are for. What we are to be doing as parents and grandparents is taking them to the stones and say, this is a reminder, this is a memorial of what God did for us. You see, when we start allowing and we push it off and say, well, when those kids are ready to ask, then I will speak to them, it's too late. It's no different than salvation. I heard one woman come to the pastor one day and said, I've got a 5-year-old child and I want to start teaching them about salvation, about the Lord. The Lord says, run home! You've lost 5 years already! Run home! You're too late almost! Because you see, in the first 5 years, that is when the children are most formidable. That is when the children need to hear in that early time of learning. That's what they need to hear. Run home, because you've wasted 5 years of their life already. You see, we as parents and grandparents have a responsibility to do what? To teach our children about who Jesus is, lest we forget. We teach them, and then when they come to that age of understanding, then they ask, okay, now how do I receive Christ as Savior? If you wait until they start asking, then I will tell you, for many, it becomes too late. For many. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, well, when my child gets to be 18 years of old, then you know what, they can make up their own decision about God, it's too late. That doesn't say that some aren't going to be saved, don't get me wrong. But my point is, it becomes much harder, because why? Is that in a world that where our morals have continued to slip off the slippery slope, when evil continues to prevail, what becomes normal is the abnormal. And if we look at our society, they have nothing to draw from. They have nothing to weigh it against. When you teach about Christ in your homes, in our churches, and in our nation, when we're taught about Christ and who He is, then what ends up happening is that people start to see and understand that it was God, as it says in verse 4, but God who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. They have something to balance it with. They have something to compare it with. When we look at our society and that becomes what seems to be normal, and we start to understand that verse 3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation, the way we lived in time past, in the lust of our flesh, the fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You see, when we start to understand what God did and why He did what He did, why did He down the cross of Calvary? Why did He have to come? Because we are all sinners in need of a Savior. Why did He have to do it? Because there was no other way of salvation other than through Jesus. lest we forget who He is and what He did for us on the cross of Calvary. And you see, one of the things that we find is that as a result of us being becoming a child of God, as He's quickened us, not only did He quicken us and made us alive, but you know, one of the things I find in verse 6, notice what He did, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not only did He quicken us, He exalted us. Lest we forget, He exalted us. That's an important thing. We oftentimes in Christianity, we exalt ourselves. Well, I must be pretty good because why? Well, I go to church on Sunday morning, I go to church on Sunday evening, I go Wednesday. You know, if there's a time that we need to be out there putting door hangers on, I'm out there doing it. I'm out here handing out tracts. I am doing that. I just exalted me. When the Lord exalts us, it's a time of exaltation. In fact, He says, you exalt yourself, I'll put you down. But if you will humble yourself before me, I will lift you up. I will exalt you. And you see, that's exactly where each and every one of us need to be reminded, lest we forget that it's not only God who quickened us, God who exalted us, but it's also, as it said in verse 7, there down to verse 9, that it's God who keeps us. Verse 7 says that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. And you know, when we look at His purpose was to, first of all, to glorify His grace. He didn't have to come to this earth. He didn't. He could have burned us up. Think what He did with Noah. All of humanity was gone except for 8 people. All of humanity. Not one person left except 8 that got on that ark. That was it. All the people that, from Adam out to Noah, they perished. All the ones that were still living. And the thing is that you go and study in there and they're living 800-900 years of age, 700 years of age, 300 years of age. They were living a long time. Thought everything was hunky-dory, exalting themselves against God. You know what they had? They had in them the seed of sin. They had a seed of Adam. They had a seed of Cain working through them. And as a result of that, many of them perished. All of them perished, in fact, except for the eight that died. I think God's grace was even given there even before the flood. I look at Methuselah, the oldest living man that was ever recorded, 969 years. I truly believe he died before the flood. God gave him grace. Didn't have to go through that. There were others that were believers. Seth was one that was a believer. Adam and Eve, I believe they were believers. They had perished also before that. There were others that were still believers. But other than that, there was Noah. Lest we forget what God has done, showing us His great mercy and how He keeps us, how He protects us to glorify His grace in order to fulfill His purpose. You know, one of the things as a child of God, once we have trusted in Christ, and this is one of the things that we, you and I think we don't really have a full appreciation of is this. We, having received the gift of salvation, are no longer servants of ourselves. We're no longer servants of this world. We have stated by receiving Christ as our Savior, I choose now to be a servant of righteousness. I choose to be a servant of Christ. Because I realize what the Scripture says to me is very clear. As it says there in Philippians 1 and 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2 and 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. We are stating that, you know what I'm going to be as a child of God? I need to be a memorial stone. I need to be a memorial stone. You need to be a memorial stone. So that when others come along and they see us, and many that may come along if the Lord tarries, they may look and all they see is some epitaph that's on some tombstone. And they asked, what did this person do in their life? Let it be able to be said, these folks, this individual, stood for the Lord. They stood for the Lord. They gave their lives to Christ and they were used of Him, and their life became a memorial. You want to see memorials in the Scripture? Go read Hebrews chapter 11. Those are memorial testimonies of people, men and women, who by faith trusted in the Lord, followed the Lord, even if it meant being sawn asunder, as the Scripture says, dying by the sword for their stand. They are represented as a memorial stone. And you see, that's one of the things that we find, is that when we allow the Word of God, we allow the Word of Christ to dwell in us, as Scripture says, to dwell in us richly in all wisdom, that we may be able to do what? Teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, as it's stated there in Colossians 3 and 16. We're also reminded, there's not anything, the Scripture teaches us, there's not anything that you and I could ever do to get saved, but Jesus did everything to get us saved. And we find that in, as we're reading in verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Do you realize that Jesus did everything that was necessary? You see, His work on the cross of Calvary stands as a testimony to us, a memorial of what He did for us, because we needed Him as Savior. It is important that we rehearse this in our minds. It is important that we rehearse it through our singing. It is important that we rehearse it through our preaching. It is important that we rehearse it with our lips, because it needs to stand as a testimony, lest we forget what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. You see, when we forget as a people, when we forget as a church, when we forget as individuals, then what will happen is that now we have exposed what we have exposed. Remember what I said earlier. If you stop praying, if you stop contemplating on the Lord, you stop studying the Word of God, what happens is that we have this void that was created in our hearts and minds. And as a result, that void is Satan can now start to fill our minds, our thoughts, and our ways. And as a result, we forget who we are in Jesus. When we forget, we will stop telling others about Jesus. When we stop telling them about Jesus, then they will then what? They will think everything's a norm. They will think that the evil, the lust of the flesh, they will think of following the ways of the eyes and the lust, and all of these things, they will think that is normal. But the Lord says, no, it's not normal. What we need to do is come to the Lord as Savior, and then He can do what? Show us who He is. Show us who we are in Him. And as a result of that, we can find out and understand that all roads do not lead to heaven. And you see, I think that is where that we have gone, that really the wheels have fallen off of this car, is that we have stopped teaching about there is only one way to heaven. And I say that unashamedly. I say that without any remorse. I will not back down, that Jesus is the only way. He's the only way to get to God the Father. He is the only way. And you see, when Christians, whether they're people that have an opportunity to be on TV, as preachers on TV, or on a radio, or standing in pulpits today, as an example, and they will not unequivocally say, because they're afraid they're going to offend someone, they will not unequivocally say that Jesus is the only way. Here's the way they'll couch it. Well, I believe that Jesus is the only way. I believe. But you see, I don't want to offend you if you don't believe that way. My Lord says He is the only way. Amen? He is the only way. Lest we forget, Jesus says, I am the way. Not a way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is what we need to be stating to those around about us. Our children need to hear it. Our churches need to hear it. Our acquaintances, our neighbors need to hear that Jesus is the way, and all can be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what they need to hear. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And think about this as a child of God. You know, there's many people, why is it they've fallen back into their old ways? Why have they gone back into the world? Why is it they're walking in the old conversation, as the Scripture says? Why is it? It is because of this. Is that we forgot that once saved, verse 10 tells us, for we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Do you realize that we are a work in progress? The Lord will finish the work He started with us, but you know, don't fight Him all the way. Don't fight Him. And I will tell you, there's many people today, and I truly believe this, that are going have missed so many opportunities for blessings in their lives, from so many rewards in their lives, is because they would not let God work through them. We're a work in progress. You see, the Lord saves us, and then He what? Keeps on saving us. Now, what I mean by that, two different parts of it. Salvation, the immediate thing happens the very moment that you trust in Christ. You cannot get any more saved. Okay? Everybody is amen that? Once saved, always saved. Can't get any more saved than that. The very moment that you trusted in Christ as Savior, completely saved, if you died at that very second after you trusted Christ, you're in heaven. Nothing can change that. If you go out here another, the Lord tarries you on this life for another 60 years after you were saved, nothing can change your relationship with the Lord as far as being saved. Amen? Once saved, always saved. That is eternal security. Not because I said it, but because God says it. But you see, here's the point, is that once we are saved, is that now there is the process of the salvation. And the process of the salvation is that He is changing us, molding us in His ways. And that's the part that started at the very moment of salvation. You see, if we had all the information, we had all the ways and knowledge, then first of all, once you got saved, you're done. We just go. That's why He says that let this, what? He said He would work, go back here, I'm stumbling on my words, Philippians 1:6, be confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The Lord tells us also in His Word in Philippians that we are to do His will because His will is being done upon us. That's why He says, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation means I let Jesus work through me. Work it out. Meaning, let it work out of you. If there's going to be anything, any fruit that is born from the Spirit that was placed within you, and you want to know about the fruit of the Spirit, go read there in Galatians chapter 5. You will find the fruit of the Spirit that every child of God is given at the very moment of salvation. But you see, in order to get that fruit to come forth, there has to be some digging around the plants. There's going to have to be some pruning. There's going to have to be some things of this nature as the Scriptures teach us, and He uses the way of how plants are matured in the sense that, you know, you've got to put some fertilizer around them. You've got to dig the weeds out around about them. You've got to water them. You have to care for them. And you see, when we are praying, we are letting the Word of God sink deep into our hearts. The Lord is then taking it, using it. He goes over here and He gives us some heat. We need some heat, but sometimes, you know, we may get some hotter heat. We get some rain, and it may not just be a little rain, it may be a deluge that comes upon us. But you see, what starts to happen is that even though we get sometimes this high heat, we get a lot of rain, what happens is that through the trials that come, what happens that you sometimes forget is that your roots are growing deep within the Lord. And when our roots are growing deep and we can still draw from the nurture and the sustenance and all the things that we need from God, I don't care what's going on above ground, what's going on in our hearts and our lives, below the surface, if you will, holds us tight to the Lord. And you see, it's kind of like that iceberg. You ever seen an iceberg and you've seen what's above water and what's below water? Well, oftentimes what we don't realize is that all the things that are being hit upon us on the outside is the top of the water, but below the water is this huge mass that's underneath. That's what we ought to be seeking. But it does not come until we are what? Letting Him work out of us to where fruit is being born. You know, my friends, we need to stop being these holiday Christians. You may call them summery Christians. We need to stop. We need to be able to rise above and say, you know what, I want to be used of the Lord. I choose not to forget that I'm a work in progress. I choose not to forget of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. I choose not to forget who I am because of Jesus. Not because of what I did, but because of what He did for me on the cross of Calvary. But praise God, after paying that sin debt, He was put in that borrowed tomb. He didn't stay there. He arose just as He said He did. And you know what He does? Is He is sitting at the right hand of God. And He's sitting there by the Father. And you know what He's doing? Is that He is now, though He has saved me, He is now interceding for me. He is seeing me. Because you see, Satan, that tempter, he keeps coming and doing what? And he keeps coming before God and he keeps accusing me. before Him. Because why? I still sin. You still sin. I pray that the sins that I do are getting less and less, but I will tell you, I will not stop that until I get a new body. And that, by the way, that new body is going to be made by God. You're a child of God, you get a resurrected body, there is no sin in it. A lot better than being put back into that old body that's full of sin. A lot better. Better body. And you know, as the Scripture says, is that we are created unto good works, that we should walk in them, lest we forget. We're created with His good works. We're created unto the good works that He has given us because of His righteousness. And you see, look at verse 11. I only want to look at the first two verses. Wherefore, remember. Wherefore, remember. Lest we forget. Because you see what the Lord has done for us. Lest we forget. Let us follow in the steps of Joshua. Remember what Joshua said? It's recorded there in Joshua 24:15. He says that for me and my house, we're going to do what? Serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. Lest we forget. Let us recall frequently what it means that obedience is better than sacrifice. Lest we forget. Let us keep the lost before us, because where there is no vision, the people will perish. Lest there is no vision, unless we're introducing them to Jesus Christ, lest we forget, let us put the Almighty where He belongs. Where it says, thou shalt have no other gods. Oh, we look at that and say, well, that was the Old Testament. No, it's not, my friends. It's today. There shall be no other God before us. Lest we forget that our affections are to be set on high, not on this earth. The things that we do in this earth are only temporal, and what we do here is going to be gone, burned up, gone, vanished. Lest we forget that our affection is to be raised on high. And lest we forget, let us press toward the mark of the high calling. You see, our lives are to be, for generations to come, we are to be seen as faithful memorial stones. I know that there's many memorials that are set up for our fallen soldiers. Their names are it's scored into those stones. And when people go there and they see these are the men, these are the women who have given their lives. But you see what has happened that's different about a child of God is that God has etched His name on our heart. God has etched His name, one of mine, my child. And you see, when our name, our heart has been etched with Him, with His name, we are to be that lively stone. We are to be the ones that when it's ever asked, they should always be willing to say, from my heart, I am Christ's child. I'm not ashamed of that. And I am so willing to tell you about my Lord, my Savior, Jesus. Why? Because as He died for me, He died for you. But you see, He doesn't want you just to stay in being saved. He wants you to be saved and serve. Why do we serve? It's because of what He did for us. To get us saved. That's why we serve Him. We love Him because He first loved us. And you see, when somebody sees that God is real in your life, when someone sees that Christ is real in your life, then what you are is you become that living sacrifice. You become that living memorial to others. So that others may see what is the hope that's within you. Let me tell you about my friend Jesus. What's with the hope? How is it that even though that I've seen you go through all the struggles, whether it be physical, whether it be financial, whether it be in your marital relationship, whether it be whatever it is, how is it that you were able to get through all of the things that were thrown at you and you still have joy? It's because you need to see what's underneath the hood and is in the source of my strength. You see, when you're able to give forth that information, then we don't walk around here with an, oh me, oh my, blame God, why has this happened to me? You say, God meant it for my good. I may not understand the good that He wanted because it wasn't good for me going through it, but He meant it for my good. And if it was for my good, you know that there are better things to come. You see, that has to be where we are, lest we forget. Do you know Christ as Savior? If you don't, you need to trust Him today. If you are a child of God, are you being the memorial? And I will tell you, I'm going to tell you this from the depths of my heart. You are going to be a memorial. As a child of God, you're going to be a memorial. It's going to be said, here's someone that stood for Christ. They had a firm belief in Christ. They lived their life for Christ. Then there's going to be those on the other side that are going to say, they said they were saved, but there is no fruit. There is nothing. Both are actually memorials. Both who are believers. Both who have come to know Christ. My question is, are you one that's willing to stand so that others may see the hope that they need so that they may be able to say, here's one that really was following the Lord. Lest we forget. Let us stand as our musicians come for a hymn of invitation this morning. Father in heaven, as we come to the close of this study, thank you so much for all that you have done for us. You sent your Son to die on the cross of Calvary to give us life eternal. Lord, I pray that as children of God that we are truly following after your ways. But Lord, I do pray if there's one in our midst who's never trusted in your Son Jesus, that Lord, they would understand that they cannot be quickened, they cannot be made alive, spiritually made alive, until they have trusted in your Son Jesus as Savior. But oh, the joy that comes with that and trusting. You know the hearts, you know the need. May we follow in obedience as you are leading. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.